Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Hey, everybody. Michael Knowles here. All this talk of anti-racism, the Woca-Cola campaign to make us all be less white, all this kind of insane racial grievance has me thinking out to one of my favorite videos from the entire summer. This was put out by my friend Ryan Long, a comedian who, I'm not saying the guy's conservative, he just does not toe the left-wing party line. I chatted with Ryan about racism and anti-racism over the summer. I think what he had to say is truer now than it ever has been. Take a listen. There's a strange phenomenon going around in politics today, which is that if you look at the extreme left, like the woke left, and you look at, you know, the four like white supremacists left in America, you know, I guess what you would call the extreme right, even though some people quibble about that, when you listen to them talk, they sound eerily similar. You may even have seen this video going around the internet recently from the comedian Ryan Long.
It's like he's a mind reader. I mean, I've been pushing for segregation forever, and my man does what?
I created an improv comedy show exclusively for ethnic people.
Guy segregates comedy on my birthday.
White people need to stop wearing dreadlocks, and they need to stop appropriating black people's music.
Shaved heads and country music, the way God intended.
You know all white people are racist.
I'm listening.
So it goes on. You should go check out the entire video. Well, we've got that man who put out that video and lots of other really funny content, Ryan Long, a comedian and filmmaker from America's Hat, Toronto, Canada, but he now lives in New York City amid all the crazy lockdowns. You may have seen him on Netflix, NBC, MTV, Fuse TV, The Score, but nobody watches any of those like legacy channels anymore. Probably you've seen him on his YouTube channel or you've listened to his podcast, The Boys Cast with Ryan Long. Ryan, thank you for being here.
Hey, buddy. Thanks for having me.
Dude, I love your stuff. I think it's extremely funny. And the thing that shocks me most about it is I don't understand with the way that you have poked fun, well, you know, also at the right, but especially at the left, how you've not been canceled yet. Why are you still around? Why are you not canceled?
Dude, there was like a bunch of people on the internet. Every time I open my phone right now, it's a bunch of people yelling at each other and yelling at me. This is the virtual rage, the virtual rage room of Twitter. So people, no, definitely people have gotten canceled, but or tried to cancel me. But one of the funny things is people like me that aren't in the industry anymore, and I'm kind of doing my own thing. And they, so now they're kind of like canceling each other because they go, oh, we're going to take your job away. And you go, what jobs? Like, what are you taking away? My RRS, my RSS feed? Yeah. So I'm not in that game anymore. So a lot of people like me are doing our own thing because the industry's stinks right now.
Well, it's funny you mention that because, you know, I was only half joking when I said, I don't care about NBC, MTV, like none of that really interests
me. You're right, though.
It's like your YouTube channel is way more interesting to me. And the same goes for a lot of other comedian friends. That's much more interesting than getting some network TV co-star or something like that.
Dude, those networks right now are basically going to everyone in America and they're saying, this is what you like now. And everyone's like, no, it's not. What are you talking about? Like if I take the crazy pills and they're like, here's your new favorite comedian. And everyone's like, what? This guy? This thing.
You know, they used to do this in old Hollywood. You'd see it'd be like, your next movie star is going to be Johnny Smith. You know, and they'd go to some small town and find some random guy and foist him on you. And that doesn't seem to work anymore.
No, probably the most recent one of those was John Krasinski after The Office. There was like 95 movies where they're like, huh, Jim from The Office? And everyone's like, I mean, I guess he's okay.
I guess if I have to, I guess I'll watch it. You know, on the point of being canceled for politics, your videos have gone viral, especially because you've dinged the left, but you've also dinged the right too. You know, it's not like you're kind of cutting both ways here.
I think I'm like a lot of times I'm just digging like dogmatic thinking, and I'm not even necessarily saying anything about the ideology as much as like the people who make it their entire identity and try to push it on everyone else.
Yeah. I mean, would you Would you consider yourself a conservative, or you're kind of just, you're a comedian, you're kind of outside of politics or partisan politics generally?
Yeah, that's what I'd like to think of it. I kind of like to think of it if there was two people fighting over who's going to be the teacher and I'm the kid at the back of the class sort of making fun of it. But people, so when you say that, people always go, so you're a centrist. I go, no, I'm not playing the game. Yeah. I'm not part of the game. And that used to be okay, to be completely honest. It didn't, you know, and that's obviously something that's, you know, way worse on the woke left where they want your political identity to be like your entire part of your personality. It used to be like, you know, oh, this guy, he's into football and he did this. Now it's like, oh, so-and-so, he's a liberal or he's a conservative. And, you know, everyone has their leanings, but that didn't used to have to be like the entire thing that defines you and who you hang out with and who you date and what shows you watch. So that's the one of the parts that's extra crazy right now.
That used to be the idea of the artist. Actually, going back to a medieval comedy, going back to like Dante, who wrote the Divine Comedy, there's this famous line in the poem where he says, I left partisan politics, you know, I'm gonna be a party of one. And you used to think of comedians as like, yeah, he's a party of one, you know, he's gonna dig into these guys, he's gonna dig into these guys, he's gonna show these absurdities. But I noticed the criticism of you is not coming from the right. It's only coming from one side of the political aisle right now.
Yeah, I even said that 99% of the people that were mad at my video work in entertainment or the media. Normal people don't care. Well, it's kind of like the woke left, you know, they kind of run Hollywood and they're the predominant power right now, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like if you think of them as, so they're always kicking people out, right? They're, you're not allowed in our club. And the right, as far as media goes, they're always like, hey, you come over here.
Yeah, come on, the water's warm. Come on in here.
Right. And they kind of say, hey, the right, everyone's trying to push you to the right, regardless of what your ideology is. But one of the reasons that you want to stay, I personally want to stay away from even like planting a flag down is because, I mean, you've probably been alive long enough to see those two words change so much in such a short period of time. So when you start saying I'm a this, and then 6 months later, they can tell you, oh, remember that thing you are? It means something completely different now. And you think this now, and you think this now, and you go, you know what? I'm just not going to take a label if you're going to change them every 15 minutes and I have to like update what I think.
Of course, it's so much easier, you know, rather than having to keep up with whatever the latest thing is changing now. It seems like it changes hourly. Instead, you can just think what
you
think.
Yeah, what do
we don't like now? Yeah. Who do we hate? Who are we going to tar and feather out of here? Well, you know, on that point of like the industry tar and feathering people, I remember when Adam Carolla started his podcast, he called it the pirate ship. And he said, I'm not going to be beholden to Hollywood. I'm going to be in a pirate ship. And he said, okay, that's nice. You're in your own little area, but all the big money, all the big shows, that's all in mainstream Hollywood. Now, I look at all the biggest shows. I look at guys like Joe Rogan, for instance, right? Joe Rogan is a zillion times bigger than virtually anybody who works in mainstream Hollywood. Do you see Hollywood getting its kind of mainstream power back? Or is this isolated, you know, go your own way, do your own channel? Is that the future of entertainment?
Yeah, and it's not just, I mean, they lost control of the press tour, like you were saying. Like, it used to be you have a movie and you go, okay, we'll put you on this show, this show, this show. Now it's like, if you want to do that, you call Joe Rogan, and if he feels like it, you don't have control of him. So yeah, you're right. I mean, it's so crazy to watch that happen. But it's not just Hollywood. I mean, it's the universities. It's, you know, this virus has gone everywhere, right?
Yeah.
So the amount of people that just work at some company and they're getting this stuff shoved down their throat every second. So it's so pervasive. It's hard to, and there's this loop of, you know, advertisers needing to be woke, them making woke content. Because if you say, oh, we're going to do this edgy show, your advertisers are like, well, we want the no Trump show, you know?
Yeah.
So it's someone would have to like clear out the whole regime of, you know, 20-year-old girl opinions if they wanted to actually say we're going to make South Park again or something like that.
Right.
So I think it's a complicated scenario, but it sounds like this is going to happen. And they're going to probably, like they do with everything else, like they're doing with podcasting, they get into the game late and they're going to just have to drop boatloads of cash at people's houses if they want to get back in the game 5 years late.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, speaking of 20-something-year-old girl opinions, it was actually the way I first found you is my wife, who, you know, is a little more reasonable than most 20-something-year-old girls. But my wife said, you got to watch this guy. This guy's really funny. And my first reaction was, okay, it's going to be one of these. Like, how many times do you hear, oh, you got to watch this funny video on the internet? But the guy isn't, he's not a comedian. He's like just a guy who did a funny thing on the internet one time. You think, okay, whatever. But the thing that strikes me about you
is you're not just a guy who did a funny thing on the internet. You are an actual comedian, and there is a huge difference here, you know, between just some kind of hobbyist and an actual pro. From your vantage within the comedy world, the pro real comedy world, what is the consensus here now? I mean, what is funny? What are people who actually make people laugh for a living? What are they going toward?
Well, that's why, like, doing comedy clubs for the last 10 years, three times a night, you know, actually finding out what real people think instead of what these people do, where they design what they think they should think and then work backwards. They're like, well, we know what we want them to think. Let's move backwards from there. We'll design everything backwards from the ideology of like where we'd like it to end up. Whereas, you know, I've always been like sort of a counterculture guy and a punk guy. Like, I know if I went out there and I said, Trump's a loser. And I could see people like kind of being like, all right, yeah, like I hear that. I could turn on my TV and have people yell at me all day. You know, if I want to get yelled at by a comedian, I can listen to Stephen Colbert. So, I mean, for me, I've always kind of been into actual counterculture and kind of speaking against what the mainstream ideology is and what the viewpoints that I feel like are shoved down my throat and what we're forced to lie about.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean everyone has to do that. I mean, it depends on your sensibilities, right? Like a lot of comedians just want to go up there and make jokes about Uber. But the problem is those comedians that used to be, hey, I'm going to make jokes about coffee and Uber. The world's like, also you have to be into politics now. And they're like, I don't know, I guess Trump's bad because they're not equipped for that fight, right?
Right. I think it was like Seinfeld said, they said, why don't you make Trump jokes? And he said, I want to make jokes about strawberry pie. Like that is not what I want to do. I like this idea of the John Krasinski effect that you know, Hollywood, these opinion makers are saying, look, this is what you have to like. This is what's going to be really funny, and you're going to go to the movies and watch it. It's what they did to us in 2016, right? They said, what people really want is Hillary Clinton. You're like, are you listening to yourself right now? Or frankly, even in 2020, they say, you know what the youths want, what the kids, they want Joe Biden. The people are crying out. And you just think like, you are so disconnected from reality that a reality TV star, media mogul, who's probably never read two books about politics, is much more in line with what the average common American is thinking than any of the people you're putting up.
Oh, 100%. And then on top of that, they use like dirty tricks like racial guilt and stuff to try to, you know, force you into those things. Like they, you know, that's some of the stuff I talk about in the thing. They go, if you're not black, if you're black and you don't vote this way, you lose your black card. You see them saying that. It's like, what kind of cult stuff? Everyone's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
You know? Oh, so I'm black. This is the list of opinions I got to have or I'm a trait. Like, what are you talking about? So I think there's a lot of that stuff going on. And they are in a big way missing it. So people say there's not good comedy. There's lots of really good comedy. I have a lot of friends that are making a lot of good stuff. The industry just needs to catch up in a big way.
Well, I also noticed this thing, which is, now they're saying if you don't vote a certain way, if you don't, you know, you're a traitor to your race, you're a Nazi, you can be a black white supremacist now. You can be a Jewish neo-Nazi now. And I guess they don't even hear what they're saying. But there's this weird effect that's going on, which is, the more and more that people move away from doing what they tell them to do, the louder and shriller and more desperate these opinion makers seem to get. You know, is that a sign of them losing their grip of power, or is it a sign that they're about to clamp down?
No, it's definitely a sign that they've already lost their grip of power, but they still own the institutions. I mean, they've lost the control of people's minds a long time, you know, years ago. This COVID stuff, it started to flip, you know, back up again. But it basically feels like you're a company, and instead of being like, hey, our red shirts are selling by the millions, let's sell more of those. And they go, up production on red. And you're like, why? It's like, we just think that red's better for the people.
Yeah.
So they're just, and you go, what? They don't want that. What are you talking about? I was reading, and another reason, like a lot of my friends are so sick of this stuff, whatever color they are. Like, you know, most of my friends, it's like, we're just comedians. No one, you know, that's how we consider ourselves, right? But they go, there was this big article that was kind of going viral, and it was like, why black guys need to talk about their male privilege or whatever, right? And it was just all the same stuff. It was like, did you like white privilege? Well, here's black privilege from the guys that brought you, from the creators of male privilege. Now here's black male privilege, all of the guilt of male privilege, but repurposed for black men. And you're like, And you think a black guy wants to read this and be like, I'm in. Yeah, love it. Yeah. No one likes this stuff. Shut up.
Yeah, there's like an infomercial. It's like, but wait, there's more. Not only do you get your white privilege, but you also get your black privilege. You know, I was watching this hearing, talk about comedy gold. I was watching this hearing the other day of all of these Democratic politicians, including Eric Swalwell, my absolute favorite, grilling the Attorney General Bill Barr. And so all of these Democrats are grilling Barr, and they say, well, hey, do you think that if we just have completely widespread mail-in ballots with no structures in place to collect them and no accountability, do you think there could be interference in the election? And Barr says, yeah, I think probably there could. And the lady goes, well, do you have any evidence? Do you have any scientific studies? Do you have any proof of that? He goes, no, I have common sense. I guess this is in short supply now. Right. But I guess common sense to me is kind of the prerequisite for comedy. And it would seem to me kind of why the comedy is moving a little bit more to the right.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely, there's a situation where your average person finds themselves leaning towards the right because because this left basically says you need to be on either side.
Yeah.
And then normal people go, all right, well, I know I'm not that.
Like, yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, and especially most people, especially, you know, I'm from Canada and Toronto, right? So it's like, you know, you kind of grow up in a liberal metropolitan, you sort of, you know, for the most part, only hear one side, right? And that just became the sort of, so you never really paid that much attention to what, you know, maybe you kind of get into libertarian, some people kind of become libertarians or whatever, right? But, you know, all you were told was like, that's the bad thing. And they go, well, you got to have a side. And I just don't want to be part of this. And they go, well, you have to. And then you start being like, I guess the other side then? I don't know. But that's why it's funny for comedy, especially because they go, your art's supposed to have a message, right? Which they mean, you know, and you're like, yeah, the Christian church also thinks that my art should be propaganda for a movement. But what they really mean is your art should say my message. And I'm like, because if they go, art's got to have a message. And you go, okay, my art's the Trump's awesome. And you're like, okay, well, it can't be that.
Yeah, don't, whatever it is. You know, I was talking to Adam Carolla the other day. And like, Adam and I disagree on many pretty foundational political issues. Like, we actually, you wouldn't, if you were to construct a political party, you wouldn't look at all the people and say, like, yeah, those two guys are going to be on the same side. And so Adam has been asked, are you a conservative? And he's like, here's what happened. One time I said that parents should feed their children lunch. I was asked about like a school lunch issue. And I said, yeah, parents should make a ham sandwich for their kids. And then the left got so angry at me that I guess that makes me a conservative. So that's what I am. I'm a feed your kids conservative. Who knows? But I guess that's kind of the box that people are being pushed into now.
Yeah, I think, it comes down to the truth is, you know, the way America's designed, you know, where you have the conservatives that are kind of the dad and the liberals that are kind of the mom. And it's like no one wants to be tyrannically run by either of them. But, you know, one seems a little crazy right now. So, you know, a lot of times the pushback isn't that bad. And me personally, I'm like would be more of a freedom versus safety person personally, you know, and I don't necessarily need to like impose the way that I think on everyone. But that's one of the reasons I moved to America instead of Canada, because, you know, I'm like, you know, I think that freedom and liberty are important and individualism and stuff like that. But if you get to a scenario where they go, one of these gangs is going to rule over you, and then all of a sudden you're fighting. It's like all of the fights between people happen. Like the truth is everyone wants to say that everyone argues and these racial groups hate each other. Truth is everyone gets along pretty well until you say we're going to pick one of us and everyone else has to live that way. You know, as long as people get to live their own life the way they want to, we all get along pretty well when we're not being imposed each other's beliefs on each other.
And I like this idea of the left as the mom, you know, but it's like that not like the most nurturing mom in the world, like kind of
more
a little
feminine,
more of an overbearing mom. Did you see this thing that was going around on Instagram where women were posting like black and white hot photos of themselves with the hashtag challenge accepted. Like it was like a challenge, you know, to post a selfie on Instagram. That's the way that the mom is the left right now. It's like the mom posting the selfie saying that they're really brave and stunning and beautiful.
Yeah.
And
they're the mom. They're also the mom that's like telling you that you need to wear a skateboard helmet if you're going to, you know, just skateboard on the driveway.
Yeah.
But then they're also like, more importantly, all your friends need to wear them. And if your friends don't have them, I don't want you hanging around those kids anymore.
Yeah. I don't like Johnny. You stay away from Johnny. And because Johnny had a tweet 2 years ago.
Quotes. Yeah. He's gonna tell you some Simpsons quotes.
Yeah. this is my worry for comedy, though, is like, your stuff's great. A number of other guys are putting out great stuff these days.
Yeah.
But, Christopher Hitchens, when he once said that women aren't funny, he made this distinction between being funny and having a sense of humor. And those are two different things, right? To be funny, you make people laugh. To have a sense of humor, you understand comedy and you laugh yourself and you can laugh, period. Are we in a kind of dangerous situation here in comedy? Because I noticed there are still funny people, but like half the country maybe, and it's not totally along ideological lines, but it's pretty close. It seems to me we haven't lost our ability to be funny. We've lost our ability to have a sense of humor and to understand comedy, which seems necessary for comedy to thrive.
I love how you squeaked in that women aren't funny in that analogy. It wasn't even that relevant.
Okay, see you later. Yep.
I always say with the women, that Christopher Hitchens thing, I know what he's trying to say a little bit, but stand-up comedy, it's almost more so that stand-up comedy is a masculine art form and more men want to do it.
Yeah.
So you kind of, there's a lot at play why there's more men, it's just like anything. It's like, it's not just one thing, but I know a ton of girls that are hilarious. It's just sometimes going in front of a room full of people and yelling at, like, that's a masculine art form to begin with, whether girl or guy.
Well, it's funny, that's kind of the point Hitchens was making, is like, people totally misunderstood his point, which his point actually wasn't the headline, women aren't funny. His point was, stand-up comedy tends to be a more masculine art form. So he gave examples of women who are funny, but
yeah, there's tons of girls that are. Yeah. I have lots of friends that are like super funny.
Of course,
that does get misinterpreted and weaponized sometimes, and I'm probably part of it. I do have a podcast called The Boys Guest, and I'm like, women suck. Yeah. And sometimes they're like, yeah, that's the worst.
It's like, that's not what I meant though. Yeah.
Dudes rule. I just think the guys rule. Girls are always like, girl power. I'm like, how about dudes rule? That's my new movement. You're not invited.
It's so brave, but no, stunning and brave.
In terms of in terms of the most people, because stand-up comedy should be especially in a live setting, is like you make jokes that you think are funny, and then your conscience allows you to make. Like you feel, you know what, that was the right joke. The same way that when you're with your friends, you make fun of each other, but there might be a time where you go, you know what, he didn't even blow up, but I kind of felt bad when I said that. That felt over the line. So you have your own conscience of what you think makes sense. And then the audience gets to vote on whether they like it with their one vote, their laughter. The problem is other people that weren't there now think they get to vote. They get to like watch it afterwards and be like, that was wrong. And you go, well, there was a Democratic vote in that audience on laughter, and the vote was they liked it. And you go, well, they're wrong. They're stupid. Those people are stupid and they're racist. And you, what about the black guy? He hates himself. And that's what these people are doing. But most people, for the most part, actually aren't that crazy, but they're afraid. But if you're good at comedy, and you know, it is tough to do, but if you're good at comedy, you can make people feel comfortable. And you're like, hey guys, we're going to laugh at everything right now. And it's not because we're bad people. It's because we're fun people.
That's a great point. I haven't seen before that similarity between comedy and politics, which is that it's all about the circumstances, right? It's all about the context. Actually, the example you use is direct, which is there's a Democratic vote in the comedy club. If they laugh, it worked. If they don't laugh, it didn't work. There's a Democratic vote in politics. You know, if you get elected, then you've said something that resonates with people. And that might change over time. Something that's funny 30 years ago might not be funny today. Some politician who got elected 30 years ago might not get elected today. But how insane is it to go back and say, yeah, you told a joke 15 years ago and now I don't like it and you're dead and I'm going to ruin you and ruin your life?
Yeah, because the context is different, right? Because, you know, it's a lot of times you're not with comedy, you're not even so much, people talk about it being like a truth-telling art form, but it's not about, sometimes it's not so much about telling the truth as much as being not forced to tell lies. Because it's more like it's like if, sometimes you'll see it in the body positivity movement with women or whatever, they'll go, this girl's so beautiful, and you go, all right, whatever. Like, you know what I mean? They're like, no, but say it, though.
You have to say it. You have to believe
it. Yeah. And you go, okay, I don't care if you want to say that and think that, but when you need me to now say it, that's what's becoming a problem. So it's like, if you want to go like your thing that you like, fine. But when you need to go, no, but you need to say it's good. And I think that's like a lot of times what it's pushing back against, because the context is different. I'm not like a need to tell the truth. If I'm with someone that's, you know, that person, let's say a 2 out of 10 girl, I don't like, hey, you're gross because I'm a truth teller and I need to say this. That's not how I feel.
Yeah.
But if 10 people are in my face being like, tell her she's beautiful, then I might be like, well, she's not, though.
No, stop making me be honest. I don't want to be honest. I don't want to say anything. But yeah, I mean, I mentioned it earlier. Now it's become a kind of cliche, is this idea of stunning and brave, you know, that basically this kind of, I don't know, politically correct orthodoxy that makes you say, I guess it started really with Caitlyn Jenner, is you say, okay, Bruce Jenner wants to go by Caitlyn Jenner now. All right, doesn't really bother me. It doesn't, you know, no big deal. I have other things that I think about. But it's when you're told that you have to say this woman is stunning and brave. Yeah, I mean, even I think Norm Macdonald had a bit on this. He was like, look, you know, they want me to say that she's brave and beautiful and, maybe she's brave, but like, how many 60-something-year-old women do you know who are like really, really hot? Not too many, in their own way, but not too many. Yeah, it's just a culture of lies that's being foisted on people, and that kind of makes you react.
Yeah, and people are like over it, you know. So when you give them the permission to not say that, because a lot of times, you know, comedy can be like a pressure release valve, right? Because there's so much of people feel like they're being gaslit, right? It's kind of, so sometimes it's just nice to go up and hear someone kind of say those things, the same way that if you, let's say me and you had a mutual friend who was, he's all right, you know, not maybe guy number 4 in the crew. and everyone's coming up to you and they're like, this guy's the best. All of a sudden you find yourself in your head like, what? And then everyone's telling you that. And then, so that's making you feel crazy. But then when someone else comes up like, hey, he just had a really bad day, so we're just trying to pump him up. And you go, oh, yeah, okay,
sure,
fine.
Great guy. Yeah, he's awesome.
I just don't want to feel crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
So a lot of times, you know, when just hearing someone push back against these things is enough to sort of, you know, because sometimes you're in your workplace, you're like, am I crazy? Because you feel, has everyone lost their minds? It starts to make you feel crazy because you're being like gaslit by society sometimes.
Yeah, it is that gaslighting. I think, you know, sometimes the right gets knocked for being too blunt, or, you know, they're considered mean or impolite, but it's not that. We'd be happy to be polite. It's just don't like relieve yourself on my leg and tell me it's raining. Just let me know what you're doing and that it's not, I'm not completely out of my mind, and we can go along and be nice and all have a nice civil society.
Yeah, I think that everyone works a little better when they're the push. I mean, it's a weird scenario because obviously the Trump's in power, so you have the Republicans in power, but the liberals clearly control thought and everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have it's kind of, it feels like for me, like the whole woke church. It's the reason why people are so threatened is because they have their bishop positions in that church. And they're saying, you know, here's our list of things. And I'm kind of saying, hey, we have a bar down the street where we're all kind of partying and it's really fun, and everyone's leaving to go hang out at that bar, and they're like, just so you know, we're gonna call you the worst things if you leave, because they know if you leave, it's a bishop position, and they go, that's the devil there, and you go, well, it's not really that, we're just having fun over here, and they're like, well, you can't. Yeah.
Well, if it hasn't happened already, Ryan, I'm pretty sure that this conversation will get us both excommunicated by the bishops of the.
Stop putting the jinx on me.
Yeah.
You're cursing me.
I know. Well, whatever though. You can at least go hang out at the bar, and the bar will be pretty fun down the street. We'll leave it there. I've taken up a ton of your time, but I do encourage everybody, go check out Ryan Longman. His stuff is really great. They can find you, Ryan, on YouTube. They can find you at your podcast, The Boys Cast with Ryan Long. Where else? MySpace, Zanga, LiveJournal?
I try to route everything to those two things. You know, I'm going to be touring a lot as soon as this comes back. But YouTube.com/RyanLongComedy, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Parler. I got them all at Ryan Long Comedy.
Cool,
so,
man.
Hit me up. I hit a video every single Monday morning at 10 Eastern Standard Time.
Go check it out. 10 Eastern stuff. I'm trying to figure out if that conflicts with my show. Well, if it does, right after my show, then go out and check out Ryan's stuff. Dude, great to talk to you. Keep up the great work.
Awesome.
Really funny stuff.
Man.
And we'll have to have you back soon.
I appreciate it, dude. I'll see you soon.
All right.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.